Good morning. I know the question on everybody's mind this morning. And I don't know if the Dodgers are going to win. No, I'm just playing. Where's Pastor Dennis? He is in Colorado with his wife. They're ministering there to Donna, to a women's ministry, for a women's retreat. And Dennis is ministering at a church there. And so be praying for them. They'll be back this week. And so, surprise, you get me. So let's, well, thank you. That's very gracious. I had a few people clap first service. And so, thank you. And Lord, forgive me for liking it so much. No. We're going to be in Psalms 23 this morning. Psalms 23. We've been working through Psalms 23 on Sunday night, and I thought I'd let you in on a little bit of what we've been going through. Tonight, we would start verse 3, but we're going to start it this morning, and we'll finish it this evening. So we're going to just look at or focus in our time together on four words. Four words this morning. Psalms 23. Verse 3, the first four words will be our text. He restores my soul. But with a psalm so good like this, I'd like to read it in its entirety. And so if you would, please, let's start in verse 1. Just look at verse 1 there, and I'm going to read through it, and then we'll focus on He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for how long, church? Forever. Would you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we thank You so much for this morning. We thank You for the truth that we just read. God, we thank You for the section that we are going to focus on, the declaration that has been given, You restore my soul. And Father, I ask this morning in the preaching and teaching of Your word, as Christ is lifted up, that You would do a restoring work in the souls and in the lives of every individual in here presently. Lord, I ask that You, by Your Spirit, would move in our lives, that God, You would point out areas where we have begun to wander, or where we may be lost, and may we be restored into Your family, into right relationship with You. God, I ask that You would work through me. I pray, Lord, that my words would be Yours. I pray, God, that by Your grace, I would be able to communicate the truth of this section. And so as Your servant, I ask for Your help. I pray, Lord, for us as Your body, as Your family, that, God, we would apply these truths into our life. God, may we discover how amazing grace is, how wonderful Jesus is. And I even ask that this morning You would do a great work in adding to the church family, adding to the sheep of Your fold by saving those that do not know You and have not trusted in Your Son. And so move in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever been lost? This is the moment when a lot of wives look at their husbands like, well, I haven't, but I know somebody who has. Have you ever been lost? A few years ago, I was given the opportunity to go and speak to a group of men here at the church at one of their camps, one of their getaways. And so I had gotten the information as to where the camp was. I had found out that it was in beautiful, wonderful Newberry Springs. Yeah, Newberry Springs consists of like three things: a lot of sand, a lot of heat, and snakes. That's it. Right there is the description of Newberry Springs. They had told me, you know, what time to be there and the guys that would be there. And they began to give me directions on how to get there. And the directions were, they were very much desert directions. They said, on your way there, you're going to come to a dirt road, turn on the dirt road and just start heading on the dirt road. Don't worry, because as you're on the dirt road, you will begin to think that you are lost. But you're not lost. Just keep going. If you're on the dirt road and you're thinking you're lost, you just keep going. And if you think again that you're lost, don't worry. We're way out there in Newberry Springs. You just keep driving. You will make it. You'll see us. You know, we'll be on the right. You can't miss it. Just keep going. Don't worry. You're not lost. Well, I thought, okay, those are some interesting directions. And I just happened to have a GPS. And so, you know what? We are going to put the coordinates, the address in the GPS between their directions and the GPS, my phone. I'm going to make it. I had my friend with me. We head out on our journey to beautiful, wonderful, amazing Newberry Springs. We come to the dirt road. I make my turn. The GPS even said, you know, in 200 feet, make a left turn. And I made my turn and I began to travel on the dirt road. As I'm going, those feelings and emotions began to come over me like, okay, am I in the right place? They told me I would experience this. Just keep going. The GPS even came to the point of saying, you know, your destination is on the right in a half a mile. Your destination is on the right in a quarter of a mile. And I continued to go, but I made some observations as I was on this dirt road that I was told about. This dirt road was the less traveled dirt road. I'm going, man, it doesn't look like a lot of people are on this dirt road. This dirt road was a little hilly and I couldn't see over one sand dune, as it were. But the GPS said your destination is on the right in a quarter of a mile. And so I said to my friend, surely once we get over this hill, we will see the camp. We're going to make it. We can do it. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Until all of a sudden, the car lost traction, and in this dirt road, thick sand, I became stuck. I'm thinking for a minute, you know, let's keep it together. The GPS says your destination is on the right in a quarter of a mile. There's a hill we can't see over. Let's walk over the hill and say, hello, my people, I'm here. Come and save me. So we get out of the car, we walk over the hill, and there we gaze at nothing but Newberry Springs. We were lost. We were stuck. As we began to look around, we see that we were not the first people to experience this. There were the remnants of people trying to rescue themselves, boards that have been found, sticks that have been converted into shovels. And I'm thinking, oh man, we're going to die. I'm going, I'm no Bear Grylls. I've seen it, but I don't want to eat a lizard or a tortoise or anything. I want to drink anything weird. We look at the phone, no cell phone reception. It's beginning to get dark and we're walking around. It's like we're, you know, the early days of the Verizon commercial. You know, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And finally, we got reception. Made a phone call, let them know like, hey, we're stuck, we're lost. And I begin to hear, no, you're not. Just keep going down the dirt road. You're not there yet. Keep going. No, I'm in the middle of the desert, dude. I'm lost. My car is stuck. And finally, the gentleman said, oh, let me get you somebody that works at the camp. They go on the phone, hello. I said, yeah, I'm stuck in the middle of the desert. The GPS lied. And he goes, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. We'll come and get you. That happens all the time. Why didn't you tell a brother here? What are you doing? They came and they rescued us. But in that moment, we were completely lost. And think about it for a minute. I was following the directions. I was following the voice. I mean, she never came in that, you know, sweet robotic voice, when legal, make a U-turn, right? You know, that common saying. It was, hey, you're there, you're going, but I became lost. I'd wandered, you know, off the trail, as it were. Even though I was listening to the voice, the issue was I was listening to the wrong voice. That voice was not informed correctly. I wasn't following the correct directions. I didn't have the correct leading, and I became stuck. I became lost in a parched, barren desert. But did you know, as Jesus followers, as believers in God's Word, that we can have a tendency to become lost, to wander? We can have moments where we respond to or follow after really the wrong voice, and we can find ourselves in a parched desert in need of rescue. Now, the scripture is pretty clear about that. You even find in Isaiah chapter 53, where it talks about God's people. We are all like sheep. We have gone astray to our own way. We're prone to wander away. You even find that so often when we wander away from following after the Lord, it's the voice that we listen to that causes us to wander is really our own heart or the voice of this world. Even David, the author of this psalm, he talks about that battle with the voice in his heart or the things of his heart. He says in Psalms 42, why are you so downcast, my soul? Literally, heart, why are you so sad? He literally talks to himself going, man, the instruction or the directions my heart is giving me, it will lead me to being lost. It will cause me to wander. You know, we can be, as it were, found in Christ. We can be saved by Christ. But in this walk as believers, we can have moments when we wander away. And this psalm, or these four words, He restores my soul, helps give us that instruction when we wander. Helps show us what it is to be brought back into the fold. What it is to be, as it were, returned to God as the shepherd. If you look at the psalm and what it says in verse 4, He restores my, or not verse 4, verse 3, He restores my soul. It's God's prescription or God's directions to bring one who has wandered back into the family. Now think for a minute as we get ready to look at what it means to be kind of rescued or recalculate our route when we wander from the Lord. Can you look at your own life and maybe see that you're lost? You know, think about it. I thought of telltale signs that we are possibly lost in a season in our Christian life. Sign that you might be lost: God's Word has just become another app on your phone or a volume on the shelf instead of the live, living Word of truth that guides you. You might be lost: prayer instead of the first response, prayer instead of communication with God Himself, it becomes something you question. Am I just talking to myself? You might be lost. You've wandered. It may look like this. You have begun in your workplace to be more like your co-workers instead of being one who works as unto the Lord. You might be lost. I'm not going to care anymore here because nobody else cares. You might have wandered. You follow the prescription or the strategies of this world in your family or in your marriage. And instead of it being about the love of Christ and a love that sacrifices and serves, it becomes a routine and emotion. And actually, you're just simply waiting the days out. Is it possible you've wandered? Personal goals or ambitions can change in a person who wanders. Instead of it being about knowing the God who made you and the God who saves you, your ambitions and your goals are about selfish gain, selfish ambition, self-focus, and you've lost the purpose to know God and to make Him known. There's help in four words to bring you back. There's help to know that if you've wandered, you can be rescued. I'd like to show you three things in these four words to help the wandering believer this morning to return back to being led by the Lord. He restores my soul. The first thing I'd like to point out to you is this: you must remember your relationship. He restores my soul. There is, if you look, there is a He and there is you, my. But there is a relationship that lands between He, the Lord, and you in your soul. To understand this relationship and what it means to be He that restores, look at verse 1. The He is the Lord, and He is my shepherd. Do you see it there? The Lord is my shepherd. I have to, in the times when I've wandered, come to a moment of remembering, wait a minute, I have a relationship with the Lord where He is my shepherd. Now, for David, the author of this, this is very real to him. He is writing as a man who knew what it was like to be a shepherd. He was a shepherd of his father's flock. He cared for sheep. He knew exactly what it meant to be a shepherd. Not only was he a shepherd of sheep, he was actually the shepherd of God's people. When God put him in place as king, God even said, "Hey, you are the shepherd of my people." And David writes to us in this relationship saying, "Hey, you've got to know this relationship. You have a shepherd. And if you have a shepherd, you know what that makes you? A sheep." He comes in and he writes this psalm, Psalm 23, and he writes it as the sheep. It puts some things in perspective for you. To remember your relationship and to say, wait a minute, when I wander, I'm wandering from a shepherd. I'm wandering from a shepherd who takes the responsibility to care, to provide, and to guide the sheep. The shepherd bears all the responsibility to protect and safeguard the sheep. The shepherd bears all the responsibility to make sure that the sheep are fed or near food or near water. You see it throughout the psalm, the care of the shepherd. And in remembering your relationship, can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? He's the one that cares. He's the one that provides. He's the one that leads. He's the one that takes care of me. Not only the idea of shepherd being this leading and guiding, but it's very personal. I mean, think about all the things you know about the Lord. We so often think of the Lord as creator. I mean, that is a job and a work that is beyond our ability to comprehend. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in it. Oh, we know so often of God as judge. Right? That one day all mankind will stand before God and give an account, and his judgments are fair and just and right. We know God throughout the Psalms as a strong tower, as a rock, right? All of these things. But look at what David says to us here. In your relationship, do you know God as your shepherd? Do you understand that the Creator has stooped down out of heaven to care for you and me? It is this relationship to remember, no, wait a minute. It's not him afar off calling the shots and driving me like cattle. No, I am a sheep. He is the shepherd. He has come down and he has lived amongst us and he leads me. He does not drive me. The relationship, the shepherd bears the responsibility. We realize as sheep that we are called really in this relationship to follow, to be led. Do you see what comes between? He restores my soul. What comes between is he leads me beside still water. What comes after he restores my soul is he leads me in paths of righteousness. This wonderful and great shepherd leads his people. If you have wandered, you must come to the point in your life and your relationship with the Lord to go, wait a minute, he's the one that is to lead me. If I have wandered, if I am lost, if I have gone astray, it is because I have not followed his lead. This shepherd, in all of his leading, in all of his guiding, in all of his providing, is a wonderful shepherd who is revealed to us in the gospel as Jesus. Jesus himself said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep." And you see that in the relationship, I'm to follow and he is to lead. And he is a good shepherd that leads me. If you've wandered and you're thinking, I'm not far enough away yet. I'm kind of okay in my wandering. Will you remember and think for a moment of how wonderful of a shepherd Jesus is and his leading? I mean, think about it. When the Lord leads you, you never walk in the path of the unknown, because he knows all. When the Lord leads you, you never walk in a path of destruction, because he is life. When the Lord leads you, you are never overcome by darkness, because he is the light of the world. When the Lord leads you, you're never on a path of evil, because he is true. When the Lord leads you, you're never lost, because your shepherd, he is the way. Oh, it's this sweet reminder, if you've wandered, of that relationship when he leads you. It's that sweet reminder of that closeness you can have to the living God, because he's a shepherd to his sheep. There is such wonderful moments in the life of a saint who knows God and knows God as his shepherd and allows the Lord to lead him, because it brings you to such closeness and such proximity to God. Those moments when his very word becomes alive and is like a fire in your heart. The moments where you know that God is close because he is working in you and he is doing wonderful things. But even those seasons, there comes moments when dryness comes in. There's moments when focus gets lost and we begin to wander. But the text says, he restores my soul. The text says there's a relationship that can bring a change in you. There's something that is seen here. There's kind of two sides. There's two implications in he restores my soul. The old preacher, Reverend John Stevenson, says this: the words convey twofold instruction. They inform us not only that God is a restorer, but teaches us also by implication that David was a wanderer. You see, my relationship, God is a restorer. He is one who leads. But in my own life, I'm prone to wander. My own life, when I forget the relationship and his responsibility and my call to follow, I can wander. And you will find yourself in wandering to be away from the flock, distanced from God. And so what do we do after we remember our relationship to begin to bring that change from that wandering heart? We see a second thing. He restores my soul. Secondly, we need to identify our wandering. We need to identify our wandering. Remember the idea of restore, it's twofold. God is a restorer, but we are prone to wander. We are prone to move away, to isolate ourselves. We are prone in our own efforts to really get lost. Now, I think of some of the things that have gone down in the Mathis family, and from time to time, we have a tendency to lose a child. It just happens. One of the real awkward things is it's not often that we like lose a child in public. The most common place we lose a child is here at church. It's like really awkward to come into church, and you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. We're going to church to lose a child. One of the most common children that we lose that wanders away is our daughter Finley. Matter of fact, a few weeks ago, we were like ready to shut down the church. Where is she at? Looking everywhere, going in and out of classrooms, looking all over the place. You know, where is she at? And it was kind of coming to that point of almost panic, you know? And then finally we find her, and we find that she wanders from mom and dad, and we'll find her upstairs in her grandpa's office with her feet up on the desk, a donut in one hand and a handful of jelly beans in the other hand. Like, Finley, what are you doing? Just hanging out. Finley, we've been looking everywhere for you. I'm okay. You're not going to be in a minute. Right, she wanders away and she's living the dream. A handful of jelly beans, a donut. To be honest with you, we've even found her up there with her papa with a handful of jelly beans and a donut. It happens, that proneness to wander away, to be lost. To be wander away because it seems so good and so beneficial. Would you identify your wandering in your own heart and in your own life? To see that he restores your soul is to come to the moment of realizing your proneness to wander and the effects that it can have. You see, this psalm, Psalm 23, about the relationship with a shepherd and its sheep, is a very well done analogy of our relationship with the Lord. A matter of fact, a man by the name of Philip Keller wrote a small little book, a small little volume about being a shepherd and the 23rd Psalm. He was a man that spent almost a decade shepherding sheep, and he decided to write about his experience as a shepherd and liken it to the 23rd Psalm. As he comes to this section, he restores my soul, he relays something that is very common when sheep herding or caring for sheep. There's something that is common for all shepherds, and that is sheep come to a place at times when they become cast. In other words, sheep are not the smartest tool in the shed. Sheep are not the most agile of creatures. Sheep can come to a syndrome known as being cast. They might lay down and they kind of stretch out their legs. But if they are, if their fleece is too long, if they're overweight, if they're pregnant, and they begin to stretch out their legs and their legs no longer touch the ground, it's not uncommon for their weight to shift, and before you know it, the sheep will be stuck on their back with no hope of getting back on their feet. He says in that instance, it's when a sheep becomes cast. They're stuck. You know, you go to your dog and your dog, you know, gets on the floor, lays down for you to scratch its belly. And then when you're done, it jumps up. Or, you know, the four cat lovers here, you know, the cat does that and then jumps up in its agile way of life. A sheep is not like that. If a sheep is on its back, it's cast. It's stuck. It's fallen and it cannot get up. That's where it's at. And he says, it can become very detrimental for the sheep when they are cast. When they become stuck and they roll on their back and they begin to kick and they begin to move to try to right themselves, it causes gases to build up in their body. And in the matter of a few hours, the sheep can actually die. The only hope for the sheep is the shepherd to come along and right the sheep. The wandering that happens is often when the sheep becomes cast and cannot move and the flock continues to move on. Would you recognize or identify in your life what things might bring you to a point of being cast? Of being stuck, as it were, spiritually on your back with no ability to right yourself. With no ability to in your own effort and strength, return back to the flock. As it says, He restores my soul. It's He returns me to the fold. He returns me to the family. I'd like to give you, if I could, just three possibilities or three things to consider and maybe identify in your life that would cause you to become cast and in need of being restored. The first I'd like to point out to you, and we see analogies of this in God's sheep in Scripture, is pride. Pride can be something in the life of a believer that will put them spiritually on their back and unable to return to the fold. Peter is a great example of that. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." If you think you have it together, you're at that point in your walk with the Lord where you go, you know what, I'm not going to wander. I'm too close. That's not for me. Maybe 5 years ago, but I'm walking so straight, I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to lose my way. Take heed, lest you fall. Take heed, lest you fall. If you're coming to the point of going, you know what, I really don't need the instruction of God's Word. I don't really need other believers telling me, you know, hey, you might want to consider this in your life or to warn me or to counsel me. I've got this figured out. Take heed, lest you fall. Peter was a mighty man used by the Lord. He, you know, kind of did one of the first big crusades, and thousands of people responded to the gospel. I mean, he was mightily used, but he had a moment in a time in his life when pride crept in. When Jesus was on the verge of the cross, his last night with his disciples, Jesus even lovingly came to Peter and said, "Hey, Simon, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Simon, Peter, you're going to face a real trial in your life. And I'm praying for you, Simon. And I'm praying that after this, you would return and strengthen the brethren. Simon, this is very real." And you know what Peter did? Peter said, "Psh, I'm ride or die, Jesus. I'm ready to go down with you. You don't need to warn me about that. I have it together." And that night before the rooster crowed, he had denied Jesus three times and ran out bitterly. His pride left him cast. He was concerned more about his own well-being than the glory of God. He thought he knew better than Jesus himself, and it landed him on his spiritual back. The second thing that I would say to maybe identify in your life, to identify wandering, is temptation. David here in this psalm, David, the great king, the great shepherd, even the sheep, he himself wrote about his proneness to wander, to become cast. In Psalms 119, verse 176, he says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." I've been spiritually on my back, and he's such a reminder of temptation and the effects it can have. Here, this man and all of his accomplishments and all of his greatness, he was a womanizer. A man who was said to have a heart after God, a man that was the great king appointed by God, but yet himself, in his temptations, took advantage of women. At the height of his kingdom, in the latter years of his life, you find that scene where he goes to look over his kingdom at night as the stars begin to come in, and he notices a woman bathing Bathsheba. In a moment, all of the emotions and the hormones are set ablaze, and he sees this woman bathing, and he knows that she is there, and his eyes are just fixated on her, and in his passion and in his flesh, he longs for her, and he goes to his servants and says, "Go get her, bring her to me." And even one of his servants comes in and says, "David, have you lost your mind? That's another man's wife." And he even had the boldness to get serious, like, "Hey, David, that's not just a woman. That's not just a good night. That's not a one-night stand. David, that's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. This is personal. And David, I don't care. I want her." And he becomes cast. His one-night stand turns into him trying to right himself, and he becomes a murderer. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's an adulterer. He's stuck. Identify your wanderings. Temptations are very real. And if you withstand temptation and God's help, you will not find yourself cast. But identify that temptation you may be facing. Third thing to identify your wandering: guilt. Unconfessed sin in the life of a believer will cause you to become cast. It'll separate you from the flock. We have this great reminder that if we confess our sin, he's so faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. But we, in the smart intellect of a sheep, will so often think, "Oh, he can't forgive me this time. Do you know how many times I've done it? Do you know how great I have really messed up this time?" And you're living in your guilt, and you are cast. Identify that wandering. Luke chapter 7, Jesus has interaction with a woman and a group of Pharisees at a dinner that shows the impact of guilt. Jesus goes to a Pharisee's house, and this Pharisee, Simon, opens up his house, this big religious leader, and he's going to entertain Jesus. Well, he's a horrible entertainer. He doesn't take care of Jesus at all. Jesus is sitting at the table. He's reclining, and they're eating, and all of a sudden, a woman breaks into the dinner, comes into the Pharisee's home, and opens up a bottle of perfume and begins to pour it on Jesus' feet and kiss Jesus' feet and sob over Jesus' feet. And she is just wiping and cleaning his feet. She's washing his feet with her tears. It's this emotional situation that's going on. And all of a sudden, the Pharisees come out and they say, "Man, if this Jesus was really a prophet, if he really knew this woman, he would know that she is a sinner, and he shouldn't even let her touch him." The guilt. Jesus comes in great fashion and calls Simon out. It's like, "Hey, yo, a prostitute just rolled into your house, and she's washing my feet. Matter of fact, she's doing what you didn't do. And she's doing it far beyond what you as this religious leader could do, because you see her sin and her guilt as something that should keep her away from me or keep me away from her." Unconfessed sin and the guilt that it brings can lead you to a point of being cast. The wandering and the distance grows because you're on your spiritual back. It's in all of us. Think for a minute. We have a tendency to wander. We're so easily distracted from the truth. The old hymn, "Come Thou Fount," has been a constant reminder to me of my own proneness to wander. The young man Robert Robinson wrote the hymn, "Come Thou Fount," in 1757. He wrote it after he was impacted by a message by the great preacher George Whitefield. He was living his own way, but then he finally came to saving grace in Jesus. And it's the second verse of the hymn that speaks of the truth of our tendency to wander. He wrote, "Here I find my greatest treasure. Hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He, to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood. Identify your wandering. You will wander away, but do you know? Do you know? Look at the transition. He restores my soul, that he has come to rescue, and he has bought you with his precious blood. I remember my relationship. He is the shepherd, I am the sheep. I must follow his lead. Identify the wandering. The fact that he restores my soul is placed in between his leading means that when I no longer follow his lead, I am in need of being restored. But then we come to the final and third thing to help us in our lost condition, our moment even as a believer where we begin to lose focus. Thirdly, trust the one who restores. Trust the one who restores. Do you see the verse? He restores my soul. Who does the restoring? Who sets the cast sheep back on their feet? Who's the one that comes in and restores the person who's failing and wailing and trying to just do it right? He restores my soul. Look at how wonderful this is. I mean, this is fantastic. It's so fantastic because I would venture to say that some of you are here this morning because you're trying to set yourself straight. You came this morning and said, okay, I'm going to start this off right. I'm not going to go down the same path I am. I'm going to get right with the Lord. I'm going to do these things. And you come here and say, hey, you can't restore yourself. He restores. He comes after you. Listen to how Jesus put it in Luke chapter 15. He even picks up on the shepherd-sheep relationship. Jesus says this, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Do you see the trust in the one who restores? He leaves the 99. He comes after the one that has wandered, and he carries the one back, and he brings them into the fold. It's this great truth of you have not put yourself right, but that Jesus can come and set you right. And it's this great celebration that comes out when you think and you're looking around, look at all the other people that have it together, and I'm lost. No, the celebration is in the one that was lost that has been found and brought back. I'd like to show you what you do to trust in the one who restores. I want you to see first, he restores my soul. It's your life. We can sit in here and go like, I want Jesus to restore my marriage. I want Jesus to restore my job. But do you see that what is needed is your very life to be restored? What good is a restored marriage when the bride is dead? What good is restored employment when the worker is lost? What good is restored health when the soul is sliding into damnation? He restores, look at this, my soul. It's a radical returning and bringing back of a life. And it starts here. Look at this. He restores first. Recognize you are stuck. I mean, really, you are stuck. Stop thinking you're on your back because you want somebody to pet your belly. No, you're on your back because you can't get back on your feet. You're stuck. It's so difficult for us at times, right, to come to that point of realizing I'm stuck. I can't get out of this. It comes in the simplest ways of a believer and the different wanderings that happen. It may be, God, I am stuck currently in my devotional time with you. It's dry. I've wandered. I'm struggling. God, I'm stuck. Maybe in your prayer life. God, I'm stuck right now. I get 2 minutes into it, and then the alarm is going off. I'm stuck. It may be in, God, I've wandered so far away. I'm so lost in what I've done. I'm stuck. God opposes the proud, the Bible says, but gives grace to the humble. Would you just come to the moment and trusting in the one who restores by admitting you're stuck? Here's something that's great. Go back to verse 3 again. Remember, he restores my soul. Let me give you another way in which this is translated. He brings me back. Do you hear that? So I go, I'm stuck. And the verse says, he brings me back. So secondly, in trusting in the one who restores, to admit, I'm stuck. I can't do this apart from the grace of God and his intervention. And the psalm resounds with loud voice back to you, I'm coming for you. He brings me back. I'm stuck. I'm on my back. But the psalm says, the shepherd's coming for you. The shepherd's coming, and he'll set you right. The shepherd's coming. He'll pick you up, and he'll carry you back. It's this great thing that you might not realize, but all this week or this last couple of months, God has been coming for you as you have wandered. You've thought for a minute, like, this whisper in my heart is so haunting. I know I'm not like 100% with the Lord, but I'm still kind of, I got a foot in church here, and there's been this whisper in your heart going, this isn't right. You're distancing yourself. You're not where you need to be. And it's really been the shepherd saying, I'm coming for you. There's been a misery in your life and an affliction in your life because of your decisions made and your wandering. And it's been God and his grace that really has been trying to show you that you have wandered and you're lost and that it's dark and that it's cold. And it's been him graciously saying, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. He brings you back. Well, he brings you back. Have you not seen how far he's traveled? He's left heaven's abode to live amongst, to die for, and to bring back. This is such a great work of his grace. He restores my soul. I'm yet to see what I have done. He has done it all, which goes to a third thing. It's so important that you get this before we close. Look at this. I trust the one who restores. You need to know the shepherd. You need to know the shepherd. One of the foundational things to this psalm is in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? Is he my shepherd? The power and the impact a shepherd can have is so great. And there's a psalm about David and the children of Israel, Psalm 78, that illustrates this. The psalmist writes in Psalm 78, verse after verse, about God's great works. He talks about the Exodus and the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea and bread from heaven and water from a rock. All of these wonderful things. And he also talks about the wandering of God's people. He says, but they wandered. They're like sheep that were lost. They didn't follow through. And at the end of the psalm, the psalmist comes in and he says, But God took from the sheep a shepherd, and his name was David. And David was an upright man, and he was the shepherd of my sheep. There's a lot in the wandering heart in a shepherd, but look at this. David could not be the shepherd we need. David, yeah, was a great guy and a mighty king. David, yeah, was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, David was the shepherd that God gave his people, but David himself was nothing more than a sheep. David could not do what was needed to be done as the shepherd. And so you know what? God sent the good shepherd, his son Jesus, who is far better than the shepherd David ever could be. David was a shepherd, but he himself was a sheep. God sent the good shepherd, who himself was God, but he became a sheep to live amongst us. Oh, David was a good shepherd, right? A man after God's own heart. Do you know that God sent the good shepherd Jesus, who was the very heart of God, and he died for the sheep? The great testimony to the wandering heart, wherever you may be in your wandering, is that the good shepherd has come and he has laid down his life for his sheep. The extent in which the good shepherd is gone to restore you back, and even the declaration of Christ's death as the good shepherd upon the cross, dying for his sheep, should awaken and restore the heart of the wandering believer to come and to worship. It is a great truth that is declared to the wandering soul that is so far lost and doesn't even know about the sheepfold, to say that there is forgiveness, that there is newness of life, and that there is a place in God's kingdom if you would come and believe in the good shepherd. He restores my soul. Would you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we are all like sheep and have gone astray. Lord, we have good moments, good weeks, good days, where we are focused, we're following your lead, you're leading us by still waters, you're leading us in paths of righteousness, but God, in our own fallen state, our own deceptive heart, we are prone to wander. We can let pride creep in. We can give in to temptation. We cannot deal with sin in our life and find ourselves spiritually on our back with no way of being righted. But God, we come to your scripture and we see that you are the one that restores our soul. And I ask God that you would do that this morning. Lord, I pray that the work of your Spirit would be great in your church family, and that, Father, you would restore the souls of those that are struggling to spend time with you. That you would restore those that are struggling, Lord, just to be faithful and committed to the things you've placed before them. And I pray and ask, God, that you would do a restoring work to bring dead people to life in Christ as they see Jesus as a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. That he is a protector, he is a provider, he is one who forgives, he is one who sustains, he's the one who restores, and he accomplished it and did it when he died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. I pray, God, that those that are lost would confess their sin and trust in Jesus and today be brought into the family. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen.